गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे। गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारे यमुना तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारे यमुना तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर् भवति नैष्टिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Canto 7, Chapter 14, Text 6. I'm surprised this verse is on the board because there's no purport. So I don't know who's writing. Okay, whoever is. They're grateful that they offered that service. It's just that it's not the verse. Gyataya pitaro putra bhratara suhrudo pare यद्वदन्ति यदिच्छन्ति चानुमोदेत निर्ममः। ज्ञातय पितरौ पुत्रा भ्रातर सुहृदोपरे यद्वदन्ति यदिच्छन्ति चानुमोदेत निर्ममः ज्ञातय पितरौ पुत्रा भ्रातरस्सुहृदोपरे यद्वदन्ति यदिच्छन्ति चानुमोदेत निर्ममः ज्ञातय पितरौ पुत्रा Ladies, please. Gyatayah, relatives, family members, Pitarau, the father and mother, Putrah, children, Bhratarah, brothers, Suhridah, friends, Apare, and others, Yath, whatever, Vadanti, they suggest in regard to one's means of livelihood. Yath, whatever, Ichhanti, they wish, Cha, and Anumodeta, he should agree, Nirmamaha, but without taking them seriously. Translation and purport. An intelligent man in human society should make his own program of activities very simple. If there are suggestions from his friends, children, parents, brothers, or anyone else, he should externally agree, saying, yes, that is all right. But internally, he should be determined not to create a cumbersome life in which the purpose of life will not be fulfilled. And the great sages have decided not to comment on it. Say yes, Prabhu, and do your own thing. Okay, next verse. Divyam bhaumam chantariksham vittam achyuta nirmitam tat sarvam upayunjana etat kuryat svato buddha. The natural products, natural and organic, being supported by Srimad Bhagavatam. The natural products created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be utilized to maintain the bodies and souls of all living entities. The necessities of life are of three types: those produced from the sky, from rainfall, from the earth, or from the mines and the seas or the fields, and from the atmosphere, that which is obtained suddenly and unexpectedly from the atmosphere, meaning from nowhere, as they say, drawing out of thin air. Purport. We living entities in different forms are all children of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 4. Sarva yonishu kaunteya murtaya sambhavantiya tasham brahma mahadyonir aham bija pradapita. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. The Supreme Lord Krishna is the father of all living entities in different species and forms. One who is intelligent can see that all living entities in the 8,400,000 bodily forms are part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are his sons. Everything within the material and spiritual worlds is the property of the Supreme Lord, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, and therefore everything has a relationship with him. Srila Rupa Goswami says in this regard, Prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastunah mukshubhi parityago vairagyam phalgu kathyate. One who rejects anything without knowledge of its relationship to Krishna is incomplete in his renunciation. Although Mayavadi philosophers say that the material creation is false, actually it is not false, it is factual. But the idea that everything belongs to human society is false. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for everything is created by him. All living entities, being the Lord's sons, his eternal parts and parcels, have the right to use their father's property by nature's arrangement. As stated in Upanishads, Tena tyaktena bhunjitaha ma grida kasya sviddhanam. Everyone should be satisfied with the things allotted him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one should encroach upon another's rights or property. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Annad bhavanti bhutani parajanyat anna sambhavah yajnyat bhavanti parajanyo yajnya karma samudbhavah. All living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajna, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. When food grains are sufficiently produced, both animals and human beings can be nourished without difficulty for their maintenance. This is nature's arrangement. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. Everyone is acting under the influence of material nature, and only fools think they can improve upon what God has created. The householders are specifically responsible for seeing that laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are maintained without fighting between men, communities, societies, or nations. Human society should properly utilize the gifts of God, especially the food grains that grow because of rain falling from the sky. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yajnyat Bhavanti Parajanyah. So that rainfall will be regulated, humanity should perform yajnas or sacrifices. Yajnas were previously performed with offerings of oblations of ghee and food grains. But in this age, of course, this is no longer possible, for the production of ghee and food grains has diminished because of the sinful life of human society. However, people should take to Krishna consciousness and chant the Hare Krishna mantra as recommended in the Shastras. Yajne Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasaha. If people throughout the world take to Krishna consciousness movement and chant the easy sound vibration of the transcendental name and fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there will be no scarcity of rainfall. Consequently, food grains, fruits and flowers will be properly produced, and all the necessities of life will be easily obtained. Grihasthas or householders should take the responsibility for organizing such natural production. It is therefore said, Tasyeva heto prayateto kovidah. An intelligent person should try to spread Krishna consciousness through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, and all the necessities of life will automatically follow. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chuksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो दीज आर इंस्ट्रक्शंस फॉर गृहस्थस। द वर्स टॉक्स अबाउट the living life in a way that is simple and dependent upon what is given by Mother Nature, without having to artificially create many products. Of course, from the place we are in right now, this seems really far-fetched, and sometimes we might say not practical. It is true that we have come to a place where our life has become so complicated that anything simple sounds impractical. But there are persons who lived simply, regardless of how much wealth they had. For example, when you look at Prabhupada's life, Prabhupada lived a very simple life. He was very organized with his time. He had a very clear purpose, and he didn't have too many demands about anything in his life. And we noticed that Prabhupada exemplified one particular, of course, many principles of spiritual life. In fact, he exemplified all the principles. But in this context, one particular principle that we can for sure look at Prabhupada's life and appreciate is that Prabhupada never felt scarcity of any resources at any time. And this is because he understood the very principle that's quoted in this verse, in this purport, that all necessities of life come by Krishna's grace and Krishna is pleased by one's spirit of sacrifice. Or if we try to please Krishna, all our needs, food, clothing, shelter, money, assets, whatever is needed for our service, that will be provided by Krishna. And the opposite is also true. Where Krishna is not pleased, then a living entity has to struggle to just get the basics together. And so Prabhupada, all he did, he would say like that, all I did was I chanted Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada gave this example. He said about his own life, that as he was, he started his business as a distributor of medicinal drugs, as a chemist. Then his business completely fell apart. And Prabhupada was wondering, what is going on? Prabhupada is a very shrewd businessman, no doubt. Very shrewd. But one thing after another, everything fell apart. And finally, Prabhupada took sannyas. And after taking sannyas, we're all reading Lilamrita, so we know. We just read that, right, recently. So after taking sannyas, he moved to Vrindavan, and there was absolutely no money. But he was so determined to publish the Back to Godhead magazine. It's described that he would sit on a horse carriage, go to Mathura station, take a train, and the train didn't have seats like Metra. The seats were made of hard wood. And it was very uncomfortable. He'd go to Delhi. He didn't have any food to eat. He would be distributing his magazine. There are times that he fainted in the heat because of what's called sunstroke or heat stroke. All of that. And it was very, very challenging. And when he came to America, we hear it many times, he had a bag of cereal and $4 worth of rupees, which no one cares for because you cannot exchange them. Now it has become very easy to exchange dollars into rupees and rupees into dollars. You can technically go to a bank in India, give rupees and take dollars. As early as when I came to America in 1995, I needed $1,000 to bring for my fees. I could not go to any bank. I had to write an application letter to the Reserve Bank of India. They will take a couple of weeks to approve it, and I have to give so much more documentation and support of it, and they will approve $1,000. It was not easy. So what to speak in 1965? With somehow that money, he came, there was hardly anything. But Prabhupada was determined with one principle: if Krishna is pleased, everything that is needed will come. And all that Prabhupada did was keep his attention on chanting and fulfilling the order of his guru. And then Prabhupada said, I lost my family, I lost my money. And then Krishna gave me a very big family, thousands and thousands of children, and so much money that Prabhupada would joke, and he would ask his, how much money we're getting each day? And he would tell a reporter, each day in all our centers, we are getting so many hundreds of thousands of dollars. Someone asked, Swamiji, what is this van for? He said, this van is where we are loading our books and going to different places and distributing books. Only one van? Prabhupada said, no, we have many vans. He was showing off his wealth. And the reason he was showing off his wealth, he said, because Krishna is providing. We are not taking it. Krishna is providing. And we are using it. As we use it, Krishna provides more. So when Krishna is pleased, there is never, never a sense of shortage. Although our concept of shortage and abundance may be a little different. In the modern context, the sense of abundance is how much reserve you have. The more reserve you have, the more abundant you feel. But Krishna doesn't do like that necessarily. What he does is, there's never a time we feel short for anything. There's always enough food, there's always enough to keep life going without working too hard, unnecessarily. So here, the reason this verse in purport is here is because in the previous verse it's talking that a grihastha must find proper occupation and maintain his or her family, but must be done in such a way that it does not compromise in one's hearing and chanting. As soon as hearing and chanting are compromised, that's an indicator, it's a flag that such and such occupation needs a little adjustment. Before the previous, on Saturday, we were hearing Prabhupada say, everyone should work for 8 hours. He didn't say everyone should quit their jobs. They work for 8 hours, but it is such that you can hear and chant. Dharma swanustita pumsa vishvaksena kathasuyaha notpadi adiratim shrama evahi kevalam. In the first canto, second chapter, verse number 8, is described, that one's occupation must be such that it builds, it gives us taste for hearing about Krishna. And for some reason, if there is no taste, then whatever occupational duty we are performing is called useless labor. Shrama eva hi kevalam. And then what to do with the money that comes? We're working because we want money. No one's working for free. Only say, I need a job. How much money do you want? No, just charity. Cannot survive like that in this modern world. Especially if you're charitable to demonic organizations, we're finished. We should be charitable in our service to Krishna. But we need to take money from the world, because anyway, that's a whole different principle. We need to maintain ourselves. Then it says that a person should perform their occupation duty with very clear ideas that the money that comes from it is meant for Krishna's service. Second, whatever money comes is not for sense gratification. And third, occupation is only for making sure that one has a stable life in this world. That's about it. Now, our definition of stability can change from person to person. For some persons, they need a lot of money to feel stable. For some persons, they understand stability is you have enough to eat, enough to wear, place to stay, good to go. Kamasana indriya priti. Labho jive tayavata. Jivasya tattva jigyasa. So one should have an occupation. So things that are necessary in the material context are taken care of. And jivasya, that life's purpose must be to become Krishna conscious. So the example of salt is usually used. It's not possible to have a meal or all meals without any salt at all. It's very difficult to eat like that. We need salt. So if there is no salt, there is no taste. If there is excessive salt, there is no taste. So if a person indulges too much in materialistic activity, life has no fun. Why? Because a person is just busy trying to have some fun, but no fun. And if there's absolutely no sort of occupational materialistic activity, not materialistic in terms of consciousness, but materialistic activity in terms of activity, then also life doesn't have fun. People will consider us as losers. So both are needed. For grahasthas, both are needed. But it should be in such a way that when salt is perfect, life, food is fun, it's tasty, it's relishable, it's enjoyable. So there must be that balance. Of course, in so much amount of food, we don't put so much salt. We only put so much amount of salt, very little. So for life, it needs a little occupation. But it should be such that it brings joy to life, not suffering, anxiety, exhaustion. And after all of that, a person is still worried and not happy. That's an indication that something is out of balance. So Prabhupada is speaking on this principle, that the right way to engage in one's occupational duty is to have the spirit of sacrifice. And in the previous ages, the spirit of sacrifice was whatever food grains and ghee they got, they would offer in the fire of oblations. Fire is oblation. And because of that yajna, the demigods would give rain. And from rain, you got more grain. And from eating that grain, you got more brain. And you would stop the senses from drain. But now, no spirit of sacrifice. Everything is for hoarding and sense gratification. So the natural resources are withdrawn. It's a natural phenomenon that the more you give in the spirit of sacrifice, the more nature gives back. It's a common karmic principle. You give respect, the world gives respect back. You give love, you will get love back. You give money, you get money back. You give violence, you get violence. You give anger, you get back anger. Whatever you give, it comes back. Sometimes it comes more, sometimes less, but that's what comes back. It's not like you can give anger and receive love. It doesn't work like that. Only with pure devotees. Whatever garbage you give, they give love back. That's a whole different issue. But in the natural karmic framework, whatever you dish out, that's what is dished out, dished back. So when people had the spirit of sacrifice, giving, then nature gave. When Yudhishthir Maharaj was king, his whole mind was absorbed about pleasing Krishna. He was so busy pleasing Krishna that he didn't have to worry if there's enough money in the treasury. It was full of gold. He didn't have to worry if there was enough grains in the land or produced from land. Mother Earth was abundantly supplying food grain. He didn't have to worry if there was rain. It is described, Prabhupada writes, that there was perfect rain, seasonal rain, not unseasonal rains. There's a difference. There's something called unseasonal rain. Sometimes we call it acid rain. Or rain that should, Prabhupada describes in one lecture, rain, if it rains at night, all through the night, and daytime is bright and sunny, then crops grow very well. And if it rains during the day, it is useless for the crops. So in Yudhishthir Maharaj's time, all night it would rain and day would be nice and shiny. What do we observe now? All day it rains like anything. It has no meaning. It's not useful for the crops. Etc. So Yudhishthir and Prabhupada writes, it's called Ativrushti or Anavrushti. Vrushti means to shower. Ativrushti means excessive rains by which all crops die. And Anavrushti means drought and famine. Crops cannot grow. During Yudhishthir Maharaj's time, there was no scarcity. Why? Because Krishna was happy to be with the Pandavas. And it is described wherever Krishna would place his feet, that place would become fertile like that. Another reason is wherever Yudhishthir Maharaj was there, or great devotees were there, they would take care of the cows. And by the flock of cows, the soil naturally becomes fertile because of the manure. You kill the cows, no manure. We have to put potato peels and make it into some kind of organic matter to grow stuff. That's also important. That is natural and part of how the world lives. But and our garbage contains plastic mostly. Our food is synthetic food. Our minds are synthetic. Our lifestyle is completely synthetic or nothing natural. Natural means living the order of life given in Bhagavad Gita. Of this verse, Yajnat Bhavanti Parjanya, Annat Bhavanti Bhutani. Simple life. This is the natural order of life. Whatever we get, we offer as sacrifice to Krishna. Krishna is pleased. We are taken care of. We are maintained by Krishna. This is the natural order of life. And Prabhupada says, now we cannot light fire and put ghee in. We don't even know what is ghee. It's packed like ghee, but it's not ghee. About 2 years ago in India, there was a little, what's that called? Investigation by some journalists that all the brands of ghee were not ghee. They were pig fat, lard, being distributed and sold as ghee or beef fat and mixed with all sorts of things, labeled as Shuddha Desi ghee, pure ghee. And people saw, oh, some more ghee, more ghee. It was not ghee. So when we say swaha, we don't know what we are putting into the fire with the ghee. And what the grain, fully genetically modified grain, what a wonderful yagya we have, non-ghee and GMO grain. Oof. So no rain also from that. What kind of sacrifice is this? Nowadays, even the grain that we get is, modified by Monsanto to such a degree that the grains are like weapons. They force you to buy, and every grain has a genetic signature in it. So Monsanto can say, this is our grain. And when you plant the grain, by nature, Krishna has designed it such a way that once you plant a grain, it comes out and it produces many more grains for you. So you can use them, correct? You plant an apple tree seed, you get an apple tree and you get many apples. And within each apple are many seeds. That's how it should be. Monsanto seed is, you plant it, it'll give you all the fruits and vegetables, and none of the seeds will germinate again. In fact, after some time, the very seeds will destroy the plant. So that you have to buy the seeds again from Monsanto. A farmer never had to buy seeds. Once he planted, it was a cycle. So this is where we're heading. Okay, so we don't have to freak out, and our purpose is not to go out and search the non-GMO grain, this thing, that is nice. But more importantly, Prabhupada writes, Chanda Hare Krishna Mantra. For us, the spirit of sacrifice is that in our day, there is a proper slot to chant Hare Krishna without distraction, as much as we can. And in our heart, be simple. That simplicity is, my dear Krishna, you're maintaining me in all circumstances of life. Therefore, I offer my service and myself to you. That spirit in general, it may manifest differently for different people. Someone will have to work at a job, someone will have to do something else, someone will have some other service, someone will distribute books, someone will distribute prasadam, someone will teach something, someone will sing. However it manifests, it's all expressions of that spirit. My dear Krishna, you're maintaining me, and therefore I offer myself to you in service. And that is important, to always know for sure that Krishna is maintaining me. For grihasthas, it's a little difficult because occupations are there, money is there, someone else is giving us money. And the tendency to think that company, that particular manager or boss or that system is maintaining me. The system of capitalism is maintaining me. Absolutely not. Because that system of capitalism seems to maintain some people and seems to destroy some people. But those who are under Krishna's care, nothing happens. Challenges may come. That's okay. But Krishna will never abandon. So as far as food and scarcity, naturally the story that comes to mind is Draupadi's magic pot called the Akshaya Patra. She was given this pot as a gift, and the word is Akshaya. Kshaya means to diminish, and Akshaya means which never diminishes. So it was a pot she was given because they were going to the forest, and she had five husbands to feed, and they were all Kshatriyas, so they were all not, you know, one banana, two raisins, one pakora, not that type of appetite. They're Kshatriyas. And among the five Kshatriyas, Bhima was also one husband. To feed Bhima is not easy. And in the forest, if she told him, oh, I have two figs, some salad, Bhima would feel extremely agitated. So she had to feed him also. So Krishna somehow arranged that she gets this pot, because they were going to live in the forest for 13 years. And the pot had this unique ability that it would produce unlimited food. Unlimited food every day, every meal, until Draupadi ate from it. And once she ate, it would stop producing more food. Why? What is it about Draupadi? Because as the hostess of the family, the general tradition was that she would eat after everyone ate. When she ate, that means the family was fed. There was no need for more food. I'll tell you a story of Kamadhenu also. We recently studied in Ramayana. So anyway, so as they would travel and this food would be gathered, Kunti Devi had a little measurement of how she would feed. They would gather food in a big pile like this. Let's say they cooked every day, every meal, as much as we cook for Sunday feast. Let's say. Then Kunti Devi would separate the pile into half, two halves. One half was given to Bhima, and he was told, get on a diet. This is light for you. And the other half, everyone else ate from. That was Bhima's appetite. So one day, it was about lunchtime, very close to noon, lunchtime. And suddenly, Durvasa Muni showed up at the door with 10,000 disciples and said, oh, Draupadi, we're very hungry. And it was not the time like in modern context. Why didn't you call us? We don't have an appointment. Anyone could come anytime. They are called guests or atithi. In Sanskrit, the word for guest is atithi. Atithi means one who arrives without any notice. Tithi means a particular day. Atithi is no notice. Knock, knock. Anyone can come. Even today, in many families in India, that's how they have guests. They just show up. In America, you can't just show up. You have to call. Can I come now? And you could just show up. I know, as growing up as a child, we used to have guests literally every night. Someone would just show up and they would talk to my family and they would say, please stay back for dinner. And they would, we had to cook, and someone can show up anytime. So Durvasa Muni showed up, 10,000 disciples, and said, we're very hungry. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, sure, please take your afternoon bath. When you come back from the river, we'll have everything ready. He turned to Draupadi, get lunch ready. She said, what do you mean get ready? And how quickly can I cook for 10,000 people like this? Oh, there's a little detail here. Durvasa Muni was sent by Duryodhan. Please go and visit the Pandavas. They're in the forest. And he was told, go after lunchtime, not at lunchtime. Because he knew that after Draupadi ate, the pot would not produce anything. And it would cause great anxiety. They would not be able to serve Durvasa Muni.
And Durvasa Muni would curse Draupadi and the Pandavas. That was his plan. So Draupadi had eaten her lunch. And that's when Durvasa Muni showed up. Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi. We're very hungry. So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, okay, we'll have it ready. She said, I cannot cook for 10,000 people like this. And like Narahari says, who's going to cut vegetables? We have no vegetable cutting, no problem. So she said, I don't think we can do it. I'm in full anxiety. I can't even produce the food from this Akshay Patra anymore. I'm in severe anxiety. I don't know what to do. We're going to get cursed today. At that moment, there was another knock at the door. She opened the door and Krishna was standing there. He said, Draupadi, I'm very hungry. And Draupadi said, not only am I going to get cursed by Durvas, but for not offering you food, the curse is even worse. You know, I'm going to go to hell for not fulfilling your desire. Krishna, how can I say no to you? But there's no way. This pot won't produce anymore. I don't know what to do. So in her anxiety, she did not cut any vegetables. She did not cook anything. She didn't have anything. She said, my dear Krishna, only you can solve my problem now. You take care of us, as you've always taken care of us. You take care of us. Krishna says, I don't care. Show me that pot that you have. And it said that in that pot, there was one grain of rice that was remaining. I think the pot washer was from ISKCON Chicago, maybe. So there was a little one grain of rice left in it. So took that one grain. And Krishna said, I'm satisfied. I'm good. And as he's the Paramatma in everyone's heart and also the digestive fire, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, by his feeling satisfied, Durvasa Muni and all his disciples who were in the river were burping as if they were full. They didn't feel any hunger anymore. And they said, let's go. No need to go to Yudhishthira Maharaj's cottage anymore because we're not hungry anymore. We feel fully satisfied. They felt bloated, like they had eaten like a full feast. You know how we feel after a feast, especially if it's really nice. We can barely walk. Prabhupada said, feed them till they wobble or waddle like this. They said to Yudhishthira Maharaj, very good, very good. We give you all our blessings. We'll take a rain check. We'll come to your house some other time. Thank you. And Krishna protected. Simply by Draupadi saying, Krishna, I'm at your mercy. Please take care of me. So one grain of rice was sufficient to take care of Krishna's appetite. Because Draupadi has that kind of love for Krishna. And in the Ramayana, once Vishwamitra, who was a king, a very, very strong king, and he had one Akshohini of army with him. That is what, 27,000 elephants, if I have my numbers right. As many or twice the number of horses and horsemen, cavalry and infantry, and 100,000 infantry was on walking. That's one Akshohini, something like that, and so many thousands of chariots. He showed up at Vasishtha Muni's house. And Vasishtha Muni said, please sit, please sit. Please relax, we'll offer you lunch. And they looked around, he was living in a simple cottage, only fruits and flowers, nothing else. So he called his particular cow, her name was Kamadhenu. Desire, wish-fulfilling cow. And he said to her, oh mother, please feed my guests. And she produced all varieties of food. Nice hot rice, pure ghee, 25 sabjis, dal, pakoras, puris, kachoris, whatever, the whole with sweets, everything. Vishwamitra and his team ate like anything. And he said, Vishishta asked, is there anything else you would like from me? Yes, yes, I want that cow. I said, I'm sorry, she's my mother. I cannot take away my mother like that. I will not give you this cow. He said, I am the king. Everything in this land belongs to me. Therefore, that cow belongs to me as well. So he asked his army forcibly to take that cow from Vasishtha. So Vasishtha Muni went to the cow and said, oh, mother, you only have to protect us. And the one who had produced all this food, she produced an army that fought against Vishwamitra's army, crushed his entire army, and Vishwamitra had to go back embarrassed. So the point is that Krishna takes care of everyone. That is the final. And I'll tell you one final story. I will stop. I have dedicated 2016 to only storytelling. So sorry. And having fun. I'm all about laughing and telling stories. So you're welcome to skip classes if you like. No, not really. Anyway. We hear in the purports, Prabhupada often referring to Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami says in this purport like that. Sridhar Swami was a saint in about 1,000 years ago. And he had written this commentary on Bhagavatam that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted as authoritative. There was a time when Sridhar Swami was a grihastha. And he was in a particular dilemma whether to take sannyas or not. Because he had a family and all that, and he was wondering, if I take sannyas, who will take care of my family? It's my duty, I should take care of them. I don't know if I should take sannyas or not. Because the time was such that it was according to that lifestyle, they were at the point where he had to take sannyas. So he was thinking, who will take care of my family? And while he was thinking like that, he saw two lizards crawling on the wall. So in America, you don't see lizards. But in India, a lizard on the wall is like common sight. Every wall has a lizard, right? Absolutely, you have to see them. So it was a mama lizard and a baby lizard. And they were crawling on the wall. Suddenly, the baby lizard fell down. And Sridhar Swami felt, like that. Because he was thinking, oh, now that child is separated from the mother, how will the child survive? Because the child is taken care of by the mother. And he saw the baby fall on the floor, just lying there. And there was a bug crawling by, and that baby opened its mouth, took in the little bug, and walked along. And Sridhar Swami said, I'm ready for sannyas. Because Krishna is taking care of everyone. That little baby is being fed by Krishna's grace. And here I am falsely thinking, I am the maintainer. That's what Prabhupada writes, Prakrite Kriyamanani. I'm thinking I am the maintainer. He said, Krishna is taking care of everyone. And so he took sannyas at that time. Okay, any questions, comments? You have any stories? Jitendra Prabhu, you have stories?
I was thinking of a story that two stories that happened.
Wow.
One was Donna Cayley, and she had a twin sister, and her mother said, you know, you went to college and stuff, and you know, you're supposed to get a job, and you know, who's going to maintain you in, you know, your in the future? And she said, the same one that's has been maintaining you.
Mm.
So that was, you know. And then there was another story. When Kalki was here and his wife, they wanted to get a house. So they got a house like about 3 blocks away, you know, on the way to your folks, your house, you know, right down on Greenleaf here.
Mm-hmm. I know that house.
He didn't have a credit card or a bank balance or anything, and he applied for they wanted a security deposit and all this other stuff. And he said, "Well, we don't believe in, you know, we don't have credit cards, we don't have bank balances, we just depend on Krishna." And the guy used to come to the restaurant here, so I guess that's how he got his foot in his door. You know, he was familiar with the temple here. So he took a chance, and it worked out, and Kalki stayed there for a number of years. And he always had to rent on time, and he just told me simply that he depended on Krishna. So I thought that was, in reference to what you're talking about today.
There's a famous story in Haight-Ashbury with Shyamasundar Prabhu. I don't have time to narrate this story. Money
just manifesting.
Yeah.
They needed $400 rent, and they were going on a Harinam, and
they didn't have money for next month's rent, and they had got the notice, eviction notice. And he remembered, Swamiji says, always depend on Krishna. So he was just chanting and walking on the street.
Yeah, and some fella came up and he said, "I don't want you to tell anybody who I was or anything, or that you saw me." And then he just gave him exactly what he needed, $400. Or they found $400 on the street.
The story I remember is $100 bills falling from the sky, because Prabhupada purport says, whatever falls from the sky. $100 bills falling from the sky. They collected it, paid their bills with it.
There was actually two stories. One was the falling from the sky, and another one, Malati, some guy came up to her and gave her $400.
Wow.
So two stories there. Thanks.
Also a story of all the three couples went to London to start the Hare Krishna movement there.
I was just being
get my phone from there.
Yes, someone please. Amused by the translation of the first verse.
Yeah.
You're thinking in so many different instances in which you can actually, instead of giving advice to devotees that come to you, you just direct them to this verse. You know?
Exactly. Yes, yes. Say yes, yes, and do your own thing. We're very good with that.
And it's the description of a very intelligent person.
I was going to read you something, one of my favorite. I read it every time I get a chance. It's about Giriraj Maharaj's essay on, where is it? Ah, there it is. No. There it is. About Krishna maintaining, how Krishna maintains everyone and how things have, because he's the perfect mystic, Yogeshwara. So this was October 15, 1977, when Giriraj Maharaj, at that time a young brahmachari, wrote this thing, this little snippet, and it was read to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was extremely pleased by his depth of realizations and appreciation. So here it is. My dear Lord Krishna, you are known as Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic powers. So it is very easy for you to perform the impossible, as you have done many times in the past. By your merciful glance, you restored life to the boys and cows who had died by drinking the water of the Yamuna river, which was poisoned by Kaliya. And you swallowed the devastating forest fire to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan. In the Rasa dance, you expanded yourself to be simultaneously present by the side of each gopi. And as Guru Dakshina, you recovered the dead son of your teacher. When the hunchback maid servant of Kamsa smeared you with sandalwood pulp, you made her straight and beautiful. As a householder in Dwaraka, you expanded yourself into 16,000. You expanded yourself into 16,000 Krishnas and simultaneously satisfied all your 16,000 wives. When Sudama Brahmana offered you chipped rice, you transformed his poor cottage into a beautiful palace suitable for the king of heaven. And to satisfy Mother Devaki, you returned her 6 dead sons from the kingdom of Bali. To appease the Dwaraka Brahmana, you also reclaimed his dead sons from Mahavishnu. When Srila Prabhupada sat with $7 under a tree in Tompkins Square Park, you transformed that tree into so many royal palaces. And you expanded that $7 into millions of dollars. And when Srila Prabhupada spoke your message, you turned the Mlechas and Chandalas into your devotees. And when Srila Prabhupada went all by himself to sell his Srimad Bhagavatam volumes, you expanded him into 10,000 loving salesmen who are working day and night without asking any salary, and you expanded his suitcase of books into 55 million pieces of literature in 23 different languages. And when Hare Krishna land was lost to the demons, you returned it to his divine grace. So from these examples, we can understand that for you, the impossible is not difficult, but rather, you have performed so many impossible feats for your devotees. Why? Because the devotees love Krishna and they feel that Krishna loves them. Nice realization of how Krishna takes care of everyone or anyone who feels, and you know, my dear Krishna, you're taking care of me. Yoga Kshema Vahamyaham, that was the phrase in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna promises, I will take care. Whatever you lack, I bring. Whatever you need, I maintain you. So, anything else? Yes, Madhaj.
So, thank you. So, in that...
Which story?
The two lizards where the...
Two lizard story. That's a complicated one.
Yeah. So, I had a question like from my personal life. So, like, if a mother is taken from a child, so don't you think that if she just surrenders to Krishna and says, you can take care of the child, but then won't there be a reaction that you're not doing your prescribed duty, because he also says that you should do your prescribed duty and then not falter in your prescribed duties because it is the duty of a mother to take care of a child. So if she doesn't do the prescribed duties, then also she's going to be blamed. And then how does she reconcile it with the fact that, you know, I've given it up to Krishna, like, because even Arjun could have just given up that, you know, I've given the decision to you. He couldn't have taken the decision by his own. He could have said, you take the decision for me. So how can he reconcile? Should we reconcile?
First of all, Krishna did not make the decision for Arjuna. Arjun made his own decision.
Right.
We should try not to understand bhakti as, or surrender to Krishna as, passive, lazy, good for nothing activity. My dear Krishna, I surrender to you. Now you work it out. It doesn't mean one is passive and lazy. What it means is, my dear Krishna, rather than me using my own intelligence of how to address the situation, you please guide my intelligence. That is what surrender means. You please guide my intelligence. You please guide my desires. And you please guide my activities. So it's such that all these are in service to you. And some things are beyond our control. And I'll read you something. Let me see if I can find it quickly. This is something that our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would often talk about. And it's from some other saint. Okay, it's a very beautiful one. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can. And wisdom to know the difference. Okay, you've heard about this? Yeah. So generally we struggle a lot into changing things that we can't and cannot distinguish what is not in our hands and what is in our hands. Okay. It's a complex situation, like I said. Don't just go by the little baby fell down and he took sannyas. Sridhar Swami is far more intellectual than that, but that was an indication from Krishna is how he took it. So we should find out what is the indication from Krishna for us.
That we should just surrender and...
And what does surrender mean is not so easy. Just to say, oh, I don't have to do anything. No. Like I said, surrender means, my dear Krishna, please guide my intelligence. Please guide my desires and my body so that I can use it in your service. That is surrender. Otherwise, no one needs to work here. Well, Prabhu doesn't need to work and he'll just say, Krishna, I'm hungry, figure it out. It's not like that. Everyone has to do their duties, but in the spirit of service to Krishna, that is more important. If I sit here and say, no spirit of service towards Krishna, that's not proper. And that's what Arjun was doing, and so Krishna had to check him a little bit. So surrender does not mean passivity. It means action, guided by Krishna.
Yeah, he had to take his own decision.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. I'm late for work.